This morning we invite you to the book of Luke chapter 18, the Gospel of Luke chapter 18. And we're going to begin reading with verse number 18 of this chapter, and we'll be reading down through verse 30. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 18 and reading down through that of verse 30. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of these verses. The account which is before us is one that is familiar to us. It's found in all three synoptic gospels. That is, it's found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In all three of these gospels in the account, there are three questions that are very similar. The first question is, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" The second question, "Why callest thou me good?" And the third question, "Who then can be saved?" It might help that we understand who spoke these questions and to whom they were spoken to. The first one, which is, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" was spoken by a ruler unto Jesus. The second one, which is, "Why callest thou me good?" the Lord, in return to the ruler, asked him this question. And then last of all, the last question, "Who then can be saved?" is a question which the disciples ask of the Lord. And it was in light of some words that our Lord spoke with regards to that of the rich. Now this morning, I would like to focus in on verse number 18 of our account. It says, "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" My subject is, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now the first thing that we want to do is we want to consider the context of the question that is here in our passage. Now, the general context of the question is that of Jesus teaching about entering into the kingdom. Little children have been brought to him, and The disciples, they got upon that of the parents because they brought their children unto the Lord and they wanted the Lord to touch that of their children, to bless their children. And the Lord, when he heard the disciples, he rebuked them and said, "Suffer, let the children come." And he goes on to give that of a reason. He says, "For such is that of the kingdom of God." In other words, those who are the inhabitants of the kingdom of God are like that of these children. There are ones, beloved, who they trust. And not only do they trust, they depend upon that of their parents. So the two characteristics being that of trust and dependence. Now, the immediate context, that was a general context, the immediate context is Jesus continuing on in his journey to that of Jerusalem. He's just blessed the children, and as he begins this journey, there is one in that of our text who comes running and who kneels before him and asks him, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Let's look at the man who asked the question. A certain man, a certain ruler asked him, saying. Now between that of the three accounts that we have of this story, we have a good description of the one who is spoken of here. First of all, we're told here in that of our text, that he was a ruler. The word ruler has two basic meanings in the New Testament. One, who is respected and distinguished with a particular sphere, or one having authority in the Jewish world. It can also refer to rulers in that of the Roman Empire. The one who is spoken of here perhaps was that of a ruler of the synagogue. One who would have had influence with the people. One who would have been religious. Who would have been known for that of his piety. He was religious. We know this because he comes asking this question about that of eternal life. Had he not been religious, I don't know that we would have seen him come asking about that of eternal life. He was concerned about eternal life and that of the life afterwards. If there was life afterwards. He was a good moral person. Because when the Lord mentions the commandments in the account unto him, he says, "From my youth I've kept them all." So, he was one who was that of a religious person. He was a good moral person. He was also young. Matthew describes him as that of a young man. Matthew writes in chapter 19, verse 20, "The young man said to him, 'All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lackest I yet?'" The word for young here speaks of someone who would have been from that of the age of 20 up to that of 40 in that day. So there was quite a range there upon that of the ideal of one who would be young at that time. He was a ruler, he was religious, he was young, and he was rich. We're told in verse 23, he was very rich. In the other two accounts, in that of Matthew and in Mark, we're told that he had great possessions, which would have indicated that of his riches. And then last of all, he was concerned about the hereafter. He knew that one day disease would come to that of his body. He knew that one day that it would come, beloved, when he would be leaving that of this life, that this life as we know it, that it would be gone, that he would be gone. He was concerned. And rightfully so. He was concerned about what would happen to him as he passed on from that of this life. Death, does it end it all? Well, undoubtedly this young man who we're speaking of didn't believe that it did. For why would he have come running and kneeling at that of the feet of Jesus to ask him the question that he did? What must I do to inherit eternal life? He believed in that of the hereafter. He believed, beloved, that there was life eternal. He showed that of great respect here as he came unto the Lord and knelt down before him. The question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? It is an important one because the life we have now will one day be no more. James writes, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanisheth away." Proverbs tell us, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring." We see the wisdom of this rich young ruler in the very beginning of that of our passage. You'll note in verse number 18, it says, "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And I would draw your mind or your eyes to the words, and a certain ruler asked him." I would draw your attention to that. He came running, and he came and he asked. Who? He asked Jesus. He asked Jesus, beloved, a very, very important question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? That was wise. That was very wise. Jesus, who spake like no other man has ever spoken. Jesus, who spake with authority and with answers here upon the earth. Jesus, who spake the words of life. This was the one, beloved, that he came running to and knelt down and asked this most important question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? I would ask you, have you asked that question? Have you asked the question to him? To who? To Jesus. What will you do when you come to the end of your life? When you come to the end of your life and you're about to go out into eternity, the things of this world will not matter. What will matter is that of your relationship with the Lord God. If you're right with Him, if you've trusted in Him to be your Savior. Next we have the answer that was given by our Lord unto this man. In verses 19 through 22, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these things have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. The first thing that we would draw your attention to is that of the immediate answer that the Lord gives unto the rich young ruler. It's in the form of a question. Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, and that is God." Now we would just say to you here at this moment that this young man who was at the knee of the Lord Jesus Christ did not in any way, shape, or form know who he was speaking to. He did not realize, beloved, that the one who was there was none other than God manifested in the flesh. And who does Jesus point him to? He points him unto God. God who is holy. God who is just. God who is good. Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. He then says, "Thou knowest." He perceived that this individual who had come and approached him, that he was one that knew the Scriptures. That he knew the law of God. He says, "Thou knowest." And then he lists that of five of the commandments. These commandments, if you'll take note of, our commandments that were in the second table of the law, having to do with that of man's relationship with one another. And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." The rich young ruler, upon hearing the Lord, he said, "I've kept all of these. I've kept all of these." Then Jesus, he hits the bullseye. He shoots the arrow, beloved, and it hits the rich young ruler between the eyes. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now let's just stop here and ask a question, first of all. Was our Lord telling this young man that he had to do this in order and that he would then get eternal life? Was he telling this young man that he had to do some work in order to get eternal life? No, he wasn't. Beloved, what the Lord was doing was setting the law before this young man whereby, beloved, he might actually see that of his sin. Oh, he was undoubtedly that of a individual that was a good moral person, we would call him. I mean, he was an upstanding citizen. But there was something that his heart was set upon, and it was not God. That which was first in his love, his affection, was that of his riches. And that's what the Lord is pointing out here. When he says, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. In other words, give your riches up and come and follow me. Give your riches up and trust me. But you'll note in the next verse, that didn't happen. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now we don't know what the final end was of that this young man. We never hear any more about him. Beloved, if he continued on that of the path, in the way that he was walking in, beloved, he was going to go out into eternity. And it was not going to be good for him. For you see, he needed to repent. The sorrow that is spoken of here was not that of repentance. No, beloved. He was sorrowful over the answers the Lord gave to him, and there's no indication that he made any change in his life, or that there was any change in his life. No, all indications indicated that he continued on. That he didn't give up his riches. That he held on to his riches. And so it would have been that of a terrible end for him. Only through repentance and trusting Jesus was there hope for him. Only. You know, Jesus, he didn't try to soften the words which he had spoken when he saw that the young man was sorrowful. No, he spoke the truth unto him. It was not in that of a mean way that our Lord spoke these words unto this rich young man. Matter of fact, if you look over in that of the Gospel of Mark, Mark tells us that Jesus, that he loved this young man. He had affection for that of this young man. And let me say to you, who wouldn't have? Who wouldn't have a young man like this coming, upright, desiring to know about eternity and that of eternal life? I ask you this morning, how is it with you? He left him with the truth of his need of a Savior. And today we leave you also with that very truth. we be viewed with the truth that we need a Savior. And that Savior is only found in Jesus Christ. All right. Let us stand and we'll turn in our hymn books to 581. Hymn number 581 for our closing hymn. Services at 4. I encourage you to be back. I ask for the band to be leading us in closing words.
All right, Heavenly Father, we once again rejoice in Lord, your scriptures, Lord, this morning has been expounded upon the word. We rejoice in such a Savior as Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Lord, that you saved us from our sins. Lord, we know that we were rebels going the other way. We're so grateful and thankful, Lord, that you stopped us in our tracks, Lord, and you have showed us the light through the name of Jesus Christ. We praise you and thank you for the wonderful salvation that we have through him. Forgive us, Lord, for many sins and shortcomings. If we know, Lord, until the day we drop this flesh, Lord, we continue to sin. We ask, Lord, that you might bless us, help us, Lord, to grow in grace. Pray, Lord, that you strengthen us. We know, Lord, that we can do nothing without thee. We know, Lord, that thou art the vine. We are yet the branches. We praise you and thank you for such a salvation that we can have with thee. We ask, Lord, that you bless us and be with us. Help us, Lord, to be encouraging to others. And Lord, that we be good stewards of our time. And Lord, that you would use us to thy glory until you take us, we pray. Ask now that you strengthen us. Go with us. We part. Pray for Carl there. We raise him up in prayer, Lord, that you bring him back to us. And pray, Lord, all things going on there. We ask your blessings to be poured upon him and his family. As now you go with us, Lord, though, we ask you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Good morning.